Welcome back to Legally Judgy. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Alexa. What was that?
I just wanted to like do a little sing song.
Little singy songs?
Yep.
A little getting ready. A little summer spesh.
Summer spesh.
As we're in the midst of the summers.
Hot off the summer presses.
Cannot wait, girl.
What's going on with you? What's been happening with you during the summer break?
I know. We've been apart.
Sad.
And I've...
Tiny violin.
I have a story for you, actually. It's okay. Been very hard not telling you this story. Okay. Because, Avi, we talk 24/7 because hashtag best friends.
It's unhealthy.
So I'm minding my own business.
You're never doing that, but okay.
Wow. Okay. We'll come back to that. Okay. In couples therapy. So I'm getting ready to go to bed, and we all know your girls has trouble falling asleep. So I'm usually heading to bed at like 2-3 a.m.
Yeah.
At best.
Wild. Insane.
So I'm finally feeling some sleeps around 2:30 a.m. and I'm like, cool, this is going to be an early night for me. Because before this it was like 3-4 a.m. Right? Terrible. God. I was so excited. So I'm getting ready for bed. I'm super relaxed. My wife is asleep on the couch and she was like, I'm just going to sleep out here because her allergies were bugging her, right? So I'm solo in the bedroom.
Okay.
Relevant because I'm about to get into bed.
Okay.
I have a lamp on my nightstand, okay, which is adjacent to said bed. And as I'm reaching for the light, I see the flicker of little legs and movement.
No, you didn't.
Under my nightstand. I freak the F out.
What was it? Stop it.
Oh my God. I scream, right? Oh my God. I do not turn off the lights, clearly. I put my flashlight on. It's one of these huge water beetles. Ugh. That we get, right? They kind of look like cockroaches for anybody that doesn't know what that is. I think they might fly. I don't know. I tell myself that because, yeah, they really do. And it's terrifying, right? They're like...
I have goosebumps all over my body right now.
And I have my feetsies out. I don't have pants on. I'm ready. And I'm in my jam jams. Mm-hmm. I don't have a bra. I don't have the girls strapped up ready for combat. I'm free willing. I'm about to relax. The adrenaline rush, right? Of going from I'm about to get into bed and be tired to, okay, oh shit, we're going into battle. And there's no way. And the thing runs away, right? And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. Because it saw me and it's scared of me.
It's definitely more afraid of you than you.
And I'm scared, mm-hmm, of it. Mm-hmm. So I run. I get my little fly swatter. I come back. Chaos, right? My wife's like, what's happening? And I'm like, there's a fucking beetle. Like, I'm nuts. I put on my boots. So I'm in my little jammy shorts. I have my boots on.
Why did you put on your boots?
Because I'm not going to let this water beetle walk on me. I will okay, pass the F out. And then the water beetle is going to go in my eyes and then lay eggs. I don't know. My mind is weird. I could not find this water beetle for a good 30 minutes. I literally moved everything. I looked like a psychopath. So we move my queen mattress. It's like 50 pounds. I'm sweating. I'm not even joking because it's hot here and we don't have AC. I have the fly swatter in one hand. I'm moving the mattress with another. I'm moving the sheets. Everything is turned upside down. Then we have the box spring.
Okay.
So I have shit against the blinds, the dresser. I'm in the middle of our bed frame with no mattress now, dust everywhere. My wife comes in. She's like, do you need help? And I'm like, now you come in. Now that I'm sweating, my back is broken. I've moved everything. Our nightstands are moved. I finally found the little guy, RIP. Petey. He's no longer with us. Damn. But I could not go to sleep without this guy being out, right? Because at one point I'm like, I'm so tired. Am I going to find it? But can you imagine sleeping in that room?
No. We should pour some out for Petey tonight.
I know. I did feel bad for Petey.
Pour some out for the homies. Sorry, Petey.
It was me or Petey. Yeah, and it had to be Petey.
He had to go. Sorry, bro.
I'm not going down like this, Petey.
Sorry, I'm not sorry. I ain't a little bitch. Okay. Clearly you were, as you put your boots on and got a fly swatter and screamed. But okay. We can pretend like you're a big bad guy.
With my little fly swatter, I literally screamed like a child.
I can hear it in my head, actually.
I was so afraid Petey was going to fly, too. Damn. And I was just like, it's okay, Petey. Okay.
Did you comfort him as you killed him?
I said, that feels. I did say sorry.
A little murdery.
I did say sorry. Wow. I do feel bad. In theory, I'd love to be one of those people who like cups the spider and it's like, it's okay, little guy. Just go into the wild.
Just go out into the world.
Not me. Not a hippie. No. I'm like, you gots to go.
No, I kill everything I see.
Whoa. Okay.
I really meant bugs, but okay. That probably didn't sound great.
I relate, girl. I kill everything. Everybody, don't piss me off.
I meant bugs, but okay.
So that's my story.
Wow, that was a good one. Thanks for sharing that with me.
It's terrifying.
I don't know how you held on to that for these past days. It was real hard, girl. Each other.
I went to bed at like 4 a.m. because I was up.
That's amazing. You probably had so much energy. It was like a whole workout for you.
And by the way, the wife came in when all the mattresses were put in place and all I had to do was one blanket left to put back onto that. And she's like, you want my help? And she like literally moved the blanket, got into bed, by the way. It said girl who was like, I'm going to sleep on the sofa.
Because then she was ready for bed. She was like, this seems comfortable.
Yeah, she's like, great. Everything's clean and nice and no more peaty.
I love it. That's how are amazing. You? I'm good. So this summer I've been working on this thing. So you know I listen to Auntie Opes. Yeah. I listen to her podcasts. And so one of her podcasts basically talks about how, you know, when things happen that piss you off, we have this ability or we have this tendency to like recreate the thing in our head and keep going over it.
Oh yeah.
And you. Getting like re-pissed off and like thinking about what you're gonna say.
This is when you kill everybody.
Yeah, that's when I kill everybody. Mm-hmm. So I've been trying to practice that if somebody pisses me off, I'll let myself replay the situation in my head just one time. You get one time to replay it and come up with your feelings and your thoughts and that's it. So it's been really, it's made for some really uneventful showers because I used to like be in the shower. I'm like, okay, if somebody fucking comes to me, this is exactly what the fuck I'm going to say to them. So
in
like
the shower, you're prepping for battle.
1,000%. I'm in there. Like, who am I cussing out today?
Wait, are these things that have happened and then you're replaying in your mind or you're just like, what if someone pisses me off in XYZ way? Here's what I'm going
to
say.
It's a little bit of both. So like, for instance, you know, my siblings have a tendency to run my fucking nerves. So like if they say something to me that irritates me the night before, I might just like go to sleep, shake it off. And in the morning, I'm like, okay, this thing happened. I'm pissed off all over again. If we talk today, here's what the fuck I'm going to say. Okay. Or I'm preparing for battle. If somebody says something out of pocket to me during some negotiations, I'm like, here's how I'm going to respond.
Okay.
So I like to, you know, just be ready. I like to be ready. So my shower gets real aggressive and now it's been oddly peaceful. And I don't really know what to do with that.
Oddly. Yeah. How are you feeling in the peacefulness? Are we uncomfortable?
I mean, I'm ready to fight again. So.
You're ready to fight. Yeah. I feel like your nature is to fight.
It's fight and fight. There is no flight. It's just fight.
Yeah. I would, if I was any faster, I'd definitely be for flight. Mm-mm. If I was any stronger, I'd be for fight. So really, I just kind of roly-poly it and then go into my little cocoon. I'm pretty useless.
I would have killed Petey, too, for what it's worth.
Yeah, you would have had
R.I.P. Petey.
Yeah, the worst part is I didn't have Raid, by the way, so I was just using our Lysol. Didn't work.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I shouldn't say that. Poor Petey. Sorry,
Petey.
It was a bad battle.
I mean, at least he died clean.
Yeah.
He disinfected.
He did not have COVID.
Wow.
That's terrible. Oh, my God. All right. So,
oh, man.
Speaking of... flight, J-Lo has taken a big flight from the Bronx to Empress of the World.
Terrible, but fine. I'll give that to you.
Our person of the ep.
Yeah.
None other than Jennifer Lynn Lopez.
Yeah.
J-Lo. Mm-hmm. Jenny from the block.
Don't be fooled by the rocks that I got.
There's the fucking sing-along.
I'm still Jenny from the block.
You're going to keep going. All right.
Used to have a little, now
okay,
have a
we're
lot.
Still here. So she was born as Jennifer Lynn Lopez in 1969.
I'm from the Bronx. I just wanted to say that. She was from there, but it didn't happen. So.
Why did the key on Bronx? I'm from the Bronx. Why was it so much higher?
No. Go ahead. Sorry.
You were just going to contain yourself. Yeah. I don't know if peacefulness is looking good on you, girl. So, like I said, she was born Jennifer Lynn Lopez in 1969, but as we all know, her friends call her J-Lo, so we're going to call her J-Lo, as she's requested. So her parents actually emigrated to the United States from Puerto Rico as children. Her dad was in the Army and then worked as a computer technician. Her mom was a homemaker until J-Lo was about 10 years old, and then she worked as a Tupperware salesperson and as a kindergartner gym teacher.
Funny story, in high school, I think this was maybe junior summer or senior summer, I really wanted a job. Mm-hmm. And so I went to a training session to sell Tupperware and my parents found out and I wasn't allowed to.
That's you it. Weren't allowed to sell Tupperware?
No. Was it door to door? You're not going door to door.
That's so creepy. Tupperware. Oh my God, girl, I almost did that, but it was a knife set. Yeah, they were trying to recruit you.
Twinsies.
They're like, you can make so much off commission. And I was like, that's a great idea. I'm going to own my own business selling freaking knives.
We've been scammers since day one. I love it for us.
Tupperware and knives. We can kill it. Watch out, Martha Stewart.
Watch out, Petey.
Oh, Petey.
So J-Lo had two sisters, and they all shared a bedroom growing up. They grew up in a pretty strict Catholic home, so I from what I understand, you know, she wasn't allowed to do too much without her parents' supervision and permission. Mm-hmm, but she did say that they grew up... Okay, glad you relate to her. she did say that she grew up around a lot of music and was encouraged to sing, dance, and create her own plays for her family.
Cute.
I mean, it sounds like she was quite the talented kid. She also ran track on a national level, did gymnastics. She was on the softball team, started musicals, and she danced a little bit of flamenco, jazz, and ballet. Mm. Fun fact.
Woot woot. Fun fact alert.
Yeah.
As a teenager, she taught dance to younger kids, including Kerry Washington.
Mm.
That's pretty cool.
Love Kerry Washington.
Maybe they'll go on Dancing with the Stars together.
Maybe they'll dance in the club. And was that, remember that movie that Kerry Washington was in?
Which one?
The one with Julia Stiles. Where she was the ballet dancer.
Kerry Washington was in that
Yeah,
one?
She was the sister of the boyfriend.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I remember the one with Julia Stiles, yeah. It was because she Washington couldn't really dance.
She was a sister named Nikki.
Oh, that's such a long time ago.
I know. My sister loved that movie.
TBT.
Yeah.
Okay, so, anyways. What else happened?
Well, so after high school, she works part-time as a secretary and studied business at Baruch, which is a college in New York City. And she continued to take dance classes at night. And so at the age of 18, she ends up leaving college after just one semester to pursue dance as a professional career. And so she enrolls full-time in Manhattan's Phil Black Dance Studio. Unsurprisingly, her parents were not super into her dropping out of college and going to dance full-time. And so her mom basically asked her to move out, and they didn't speak for 8 months after this. And so during this time, J-Lo apparently was sleeping in a dance studio for a few months.
How happy is her mom now, though?
I'm sure she's... fantastic.
I love when I hear these stories about people's parents not understanding their need to like pursue atypical careers, and then it just works out so well.
And they blow up.
Yeah, and then they're like, my bad.
I'm definitely the kid who is like, so what now?
Yeah. Oh.
Did you want to go to that nice dinner tonight, or did you want me to stay at Baruch College?
Are you not going to support your young J-Lo daughter?
No, of course. I'm just saying I would be the petty kid who comes back and was like, I thought it wasn't going to be great.
Oh, you're mm-hmm. J-Lo in this J-Lo. Instance, I'm so J-Lo. You're not going to buy your mom a house.
No, of course I'll do it after I talk eventually. A little shit.
Yeah, you make her grovel.
Got to get a couple of one-liners off first.
I see then... your peaceful showers aren't working out here, girl. You got to work on that a little bit more. So she starts her career as a professional dancer shortly after leaving home. I mean, she really didn't have a choice, so good job, J-Lo. In 1990, she performed with MC Hammer, and she toured with a chorus group. She was a backup dancer for New Kids on the Block at the 1991 AMA, so that's mm-hmm. pretty big.
Yep.
And then she traveled. She did, like, jobs anywhere she could, right? She traveled for regional musicals and even appeared in several music videos around this time. But her most high-profile dancing role was performing as a fly girl for In Living Color, which was a popular sketch comedy show created by Keenan Ivory Wayans that starred a bunch of different comedians, Jamie Foxx, Jim Carrey, and, of course, the Wayans Bros, because you got to bring your boys up with you.
Yep.
So she actually moves to L.A. for this, and she'd film the show during the day and attend acting classes at night, because she always wanted to get into acting, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then after performing for two seasons of the show, she actually left to be a backup dancer for none other than Janet Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And she even appeared in That's the Way Love Goes music video with her.
That's the way love goes. Ooh. That's the way love goes.
All right,
goes.
Then. Okay. All Sorry. Right. That's
you gave
that.
Me a music episode. So you were just asking for me to sing for like 75%
no
of this.
No matter what we do, you find a way to put your little jingles in there. It's like your Tupperware jingle.
That's the way.
Okay. And she was actually supposed to go on tour with her, but then she decides to pursue acting in 93.
Yeah. And so she lands her first acting job on the show South Central. And she does some other small roles in network television and smaller movies, but ultimately kind of leans into the acting when she gets a supporting role with Robin Williams in Jack in 1996, and then in Blood and Wine with Jack Nicholson in 1997. And so all of this culminates in her first major lead role in Salinas. In 1997. And so with this movie, she became the first Latin actress to ever earn... To earn? Yeah, I think that's how you say that. To ever earn...
To ever earn. Yeah, you couldn't
well,
you
losing
earn
K.
ever.
No, it's fine.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you, my friend. Mm-hmm. So she became the first Latin actress to earn over $1 million for the film. For a film, just generally, but for her, it was in Selena.
Right.
And so this sparks really her journey into music. And so she cuts a demo in Spanish and takes it to Sony Music Group, who actually encourage her to sing in English instead.
Yeah. and
which little, I don't love. Looking back on that, I feel like that's not great.
Could be both. They're like, yeah, Americanized.
Yeah.
Very Americanized. I mean, it worked out for her.
Speak English.
And she does sing some Spanish songs now. So mm-hmm. good for you, J-Lo.
Yeah.
But was going to say, shout out to our Selena episode. If you haven't listened, go listen. Mm-hmm. It's a great episode. Mm-hmm. Good job, J-Lo. So she continues to act in major movies after this. She stars in Anaconda with Ice Cube and John Voight in 97. One of my greatest fears, by the way. Scariest movie ever. And Out of Sight with George Clooney in 98. And then in May 1999, she releases the single If You Had My Love, which we listened to right before this episode to get pumped for J-Lo. Becomes the first artist to top Billboard Hot 100 with her debut single since Britney Spears' Baby One More Time. Mm. And then people really doubted her singing skills and ability and wondered if venturing into music would ruin her career since she had found some success with acting, right? And there was some speculation that she would look like a joke. One critic even went so far as to say, if the album was a flop, not only would it embarrass Lopez, but it might even damage her career. So, clearly, who's laughing now?
Hater.
Haters. During production of her first album, On the Six, it's been speculated that she only received the recording deal because of her looks and the fame and attention she was receiving at the time. Mm-hmm. But you know what? You use what you gotta use mm-hmm. to get where you need to go. All right.
She proved them wrong. She came out on top.
She really did.
Truly. So she hustles her way to the top. She falls into a little rhythm, actually, of releasing music and movies at or around the same time. So she releases her debut album, On the Six, in 1999, which refers to her time traveling on the Six train between the Bronx and Manhattan. If you live in and or have ever lived in New York City, know that the Six train is an absolute fucking disaster.
Is it?
It is truly a fucking shit show in the mornings.
Why? Just so many people? It's like crowded?
So many people. Like everybody rushes onto the train and you're just like all crammed in. Like sardines.
Claustrophobic.
It's out of control, especially during the winter where you have like your winter coat on.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
You like just came from the cold, but suddenly you're like sweating and like in this very humid train.
Yeah.
So I like really related to her being on that train and be like, I deserve more than this. Yeah. You know, like I need more.
There's more to
There's
life.
There's more to life. There's more to life. Okay. All right. So anyways, so to the haters, On the Six does great. Her third single, Waiting for Tonight, is widely considered to be one of her best songs. Those critics who talk shit about her were surprised and admitted that her musical success really made the, in quotes, popular actor even more popular.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2000, so shortly after that album, she releases or stars in the horror movie, The Cell. Around the time that she stars in this movie, The Cell, she starts going by J-Lo professionally.
It's like a rebranding moment.
Yeah, I mean, she's reborn.
Reborn.
Your birth is my birth.
J-Lo 2.0. I forgot what the next line is. I'm sorry. What is the after my birth is your birth? What do you always say?
Your death is my death.
Okay, this is getting too gothic. Let's move on. So she releases her second studio album, J-Lo. Wonder where she came up with that, which goes on to be another commercial success. Debuts as number one on the U.S. Billboard 200. And then she also releases The Wedding Planner in 2001.
Great movie.
Which topped box offices.
Love that movie.
I do love this movie. It's a great one. I actually want to watch it now.
Mm-hmm.
She becomes the first woman to have a number one album and film in the same week. So shout out to
you go,
J's
girl.
To the Lows. And 2002 was also a big year for her. Music-wise, she releases J to the LO remixes, and it becomes the first remix album in history to debut at the top of the U.S. Billboard 200. And it actually sells 1.5 million copies. Good for her. And her third studio album, This Is Me Then, which, fun fact, was dedicated to her boyfriend at the time, Ben Affleck.
Not my Ben.
Little coming round yeah. back to
full
some
circle.
Hit. Yep, truly. Then films-wise, she stars in Made in Manhattan and Enough. I wasn't as big of a fan of Made in Manhattan. I'm not going to lie.
Didn't love that, but I did love Enough.
Enough was pretty kick-ass.
Probably unsurprisingly
literally.
Enough, but I think about it.
It was pretty cheesy, though, I got to say. yeah, this is something that you would really resonate. You're like, this is amazing. I feel like you're going to train as if you're her when you have nobody. No one's going to attack you. You're totally fine.
I remember like being at the house trying to move. It was like, could I tax money if they came for me? Answer, yes.
Right. She actually,
try me.
I mean, this bleeds. Okay, girl, you're good. Now I know what to get you for your birthday. I'm going to get you some like kickboxing or like Krav Maga, maybe. I think you need to like release this anger in a different way.
Yeah, whatever.
So sadly, actually, it later came out that she suffered a nervous breakdown around this time, especially like during the filming of Enough. She mm-hmm. was probably very overworked, and the film required her to learn and practice Krav Maga, which actually I was saying that I suggest to you. It's like super brutal on your body.
Yeah.
She looked great in the movie, super physically
great.
Fit.
Yeah.
But it takes so much work to do that, and she's releasing music, she's acting, right?
Yeah.
She's just overworked.
I mean, she didn't stop, though. She continues to basically act and release music. Some highlights in 2003, Geely comes out, which was sadly a horrible commercial failure. it was considered one of the worst films. Not just not her worst, but just generally one of the worst films of all time.
Yeah.
Her and Affleck did this one together. That's so she tries again with him, oddly enough, in Jersey Girl that same year. And that one did horribly.
Maybe they didn't. I wonder if the release timing, like it didn't release before. They were like, oh, no, we already shot Jersey Girl. But she was in it for a second. Doesn't she die in the beginning of Jersey Girl? I think she's the mom who dies at childbirth. I didn't see that
one.
I only watched the beginning. Mm. And she died. And I was like, I'm out.
Well, thank you.
sorry to anyone who spoiled it.
In 2004, Shall We Dance comes out with Richard Gere. And this basically revitalizes her acting career. I also didn't see that, though.
You didn't?
Was it good?
I saw
no.
it. Yeah. My wife likes it. It's not my kind of movie. Okay. But she looks
Is
great
it
in it.
Is it rom-com?
Yeah. She's okay. like a dancer and I don't know. She dances with Richard Gere. That's what happens.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that fun summary.
And scene.
Well, in 2005, Monster in Law comes out with Jane Fonda, which I love.
That's a great. Duh. Well, Jane Fonda is amazing.
Loved.
And the plot, it was very good. Such it was a great so movie. Entertaining. They had good chemistry
they did.
On there.
They really killed that
Fun
role.
Fun fact alert.
Give
she
it to me.
Reportedly received $15 million for this role.
Yes.
How much did Jane Fonda make then?
Yes.
I would like to believe she made more just because, you know, Jane Fonda's.
Let's call it 20 to 25. Yeah.
Good for them. 2007, she releases her fifth studio album, Como Ama Una Mujer. She received the highest first week sales for a debut Spanish album in the U.S. So she did get that Spanish release.
Okay.
And then a million more things that we cannot name. But just everybody know, and I think we already do know, she was out here working hard and getting those paychecks.
She's getting that paper.
Comma, 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 commas.
Mm-hmm. Well, she kind of has a dull period after this, but, you know, as always, it's J-Lo, so she comes back. So in 2011, she becomes a judge in American Idol, replacing Ellen. And she reportedly got $20 million for just the second season.
Insane.
Love it for her. She becomes She's a global rich. Ambassador for L'Oreal and Venus around the same time. In 2012, she ends up launching her Dance Again World Tour, and she grossed over $1 million per show.
Per show, girl.
Just highlighting that.
This is really why we're talking about all her accolades in a way that we haven't with anybody else, because we really want everyone to realize how many millions of dollars she's brought in
she's
over
getting
the years.
Mm-hmm. And she does a lot in the Latin entertainment scene. She works in some music reality show to find new talent. She was the chief creative officer of Nuevo TV for some time. And she's really, like, not just building up her American platform, but she's giving back to the community that really kind of birthed her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she also gets more involved in TV work and does some executive producing. She stars and produces in Shades of Blue, which is a detective crime drama, and she produces / judges NBC's World of Dance show.
Mm-hmm. And then in 2016, she has a residency in Las Vegas at Planet Hollywood, which I always wanted to go to, but I did not get to go to.
Next time, my friend.
Apparently, $100 million in ticket sales during the 3 years.
That's so crazy. I can't even. All these numbers.
So much
I just
money.
I'm sweating.
It hurts. 2019, she produces and stars as a stripper in Hustlers, a movie about a group of strippers in Manhattan who con wealthy men. My kind of plot.
Yep.
Except, well, we'll get into it. It's kind of based on real life. That part's not good. But some call this the best role of her career. Biggest opening weekend for her in a live action film, grossing over $33.2 million and would go on to gross $100 million in North America alone. Nominated for various awards, Golden Globes, SAG, Critics' Choice, etc., etc. 2020, she performs at the Super Bowl halftime show with Shakira.
Great halftime show.
Great performers, both of them. Good stage presence. Mm-hmm. I approve. 2021, launches a skincare line and performs at Biden's inauguration.
I forgot about that.
I was not the biggest fan.
Forgot all about that.
Of the acapella vocals, not going to lie.
I didn't love that outfit either.
You didn't?
Back on it, no.
Oh, I thought you would
my
have.
Favorite.
I didn't like the cheesy posing with A-Rod. It was a little too literally posed for me.
He's
a little
a
too staged.
So now we know why.
Yeah, he definitely dirtied her
Things
up.
Things were on the rocks.
Mm-hmm. So just generally, she's considered a massive pop culture icon, right? Particularly impactful for breaking the mold of needing to be like this stick, skinny woman, and even for the Latin community, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know people's have their issues. Haters gonna hate, but at the end of the day, you gotta give some, you know, head nods to her.
Yeah, yeah.
And she has a cumulative film gross of $3.1 billion and estimated global sales of 70 million records. She's considered one of the most influential Latin entertainers in North America.
Yeah, I mean, she's had a number of successful singles that ranked on Billboard, including If You Had My Love, I'm Real, Ain't It Funny, All I Have. I really just want to sing all of these right now. I hope you know how much I'm struggling.
Let's move on.
And so she received a Hollywood Walk of Fame star. She's also gotten the Billboard Icon Award, the Michael Jackson Video Vanguard Award. She's the first Latin performer to win since its introduction in 1984.
Pretty big.
She's also ventured into, obviously, beauty and clothing and perfume and productions and political activism and philanthropic efforts, and she's really done it all.
She's done it all. I'm not gonna lie. I did wear the JLo perfume in high school. I gotta come clean.
Oh wow.
It was my scent.
Okay.
So thank you. I love my love do cost a thing, just mm-hmm. for clarity. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm. Let's get into some notable mentions with her personal life. She got married to a waiter while she was young. Comes out that he actually tried to publish a book about her and their marriage, wanted to use some private footage from their honeymoon. Real class act there. But luckily, a court prevents him from doing both.
What an asshole. Bag.
Fucking slum.
But then she goes on to date Diddy. Mm. This is right around the time that she wore the historic green Versace dress to the Grammys with him. Mm-hmm. As everybody knows, it's like the deep cut jungle looking dress. Right. I love it.
It broke the earth.
Truly, like the internet. That was the first time the internet was broken, way before Kim K. So sit down, Kim true. Kardashian. In 1997, sadly, they were both arrested and charged with criminal possession of a weapon and stolen property after leaving the scene of a shooting at a club in Times Square, New York. The charges against her were dropped within an hour. Shout out to your legal team. And Diddy ends up being acquitted, so everything was fine. But, you know, after something that tumultuous and publicized, she broke up with him, which was probably fair.
Right. And then she gets married to one of her backup dancers for a bit around 2001.
Yeah.
We're going to skate over that. Yeah. And then she started dating and engaged and got engaged to Ben Affleck in 2002 after meeting on the set of Geely. They ended up breaking up just a couple years later in 2004. They blamed the media scrutiny. And we know where this is going to end up, but let's wait till we get there.
Well, so then she marries Mark Anthony in 2004, mm-hmm. which is truly just 5 months after the Bennifer breakup. But then they have their beautiful twins in 2008. And she got $6 million to do a spread with People with the first pictures of the twins. Just for pictures of the children that she birthed for free. She got $6 million. Just sleep on that.
You got to make that money.
Yeah. But sadly, they ended up filing for divorce in 2012. So that was not her forever love. But then dates her former backup dancer, Casper Smart, from about 2011 to 2016.
That was a good while. That was a long time.
Yeah, it is. 5 years, it's a long time in Hollywood.
It's
an eternity.
It's like dog years, eternity. So yeah, that's exactly by my estimates. And then unfortunately, she goes on to date the idiot that is A-Rod from 2017 to 2021. Shout out to our A-Rod episode. That's a delightful episode. Probably actually one of my favorite episodes we've done.
Yeah, that was a funny one.
Only good thing he's four is that we got to do that episode.
A-Rod and Skirty. What's his name? Yeah, Skirty.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Skirts. Skirtles.
Oh man.
Okay. Now we're ready for the legality episode portion of the episode.
Just the episode.
In other words. We got to take it back, though, girl.
Yeah.
We got to go back in time. Hustlers. Mm-hmm. It's 2019.
Mm-hmm.
The movie.
The world's crazy. It's pre-pandy.
What's going on?
Yeah. Well, so she did this movie, Hustlers, in 2019, which stars J-Lo, as well as Constance Wu, Julia Stiles, Kiki Palmer, Lily Reinhart, Lizzo, Cardi B, and it's basically about a group of strippers in New York City who drug and con wealthy men who visit their club. And the plan was allegedly devised by J-Lo's character, Ramona.
Well, we're talking about the movie, so you could
say
that.
So not allegedly, fine. So it was really devised.
You're such a lawyer.
By the character, I'm sorry. I just like to always have that little
you're so scared Ramona's going to sue us.
The character.
Yeah.
So the movie is actually based on a true story that was detailed by New York Magazine in 2015 in an article called The Hustlers at Scores, which I think was actually super interesting and a phenomenal article.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically the article is about these New York City strippers who drug wealthy clients and run up really, really large bills at the strip club, including one woman by the name of Samantha Barbash. And so Samantha was apparently a little older than the average stripper. She's only in her 30s, but they call her ancient in this article, by stripper standards at least, because a lot of them happen to be, you know, younger in their 20s.
Right.
But she apparently kept her stature by basically helping cultivate the younger dancers that were at the strip club. So she kind of kept this position of prominence for herself.
Mm-hmm.
And so she really tries to make sure all of the women were friends so they could work in groups so that people are safe, but also so that they could make more money.
Right.
And so allegedly she was good at bringing in guys with money. And so she was able to stay employed during the recession. And so she, around this time, she invents, or allegedly invents, a mix of like a drink spiked with MDMA and ketamine, so that once guys got into the club, she could use this mix to like build out a scheme where basically they would drug the clients, run up their bills at the clubs. She would somehow like back channel the money to herself from the club. Mm-hmm. And so she's got a super elaborate scheme around this. She's got notes on clients, even as specific as like when they came in, how much they spent, their cards, what they were wearing, etc. And she includes a schedule on like, you know, the timing that they were coming in around and how much, you know, she got away with charging them.
Right.
And so I think one of the interesting things too is that allegedly she was outsourcing sex workers for the guys who wanted sex, and she wasn't willing to provide it, and she didn't want her girls to do it either.
She was employing people.
Listen, she had a whole...
She was drugging people and employing them.
It was a scheme.
Right.
So allegedly she was taking thousands of dollars from these people via credit cards and bank accounts while they were drunk. I'm not sure how you do the bank account part, because I don't think Venmo was in existence then. So like...
Right.
Were you getting their passwords to like their, you know, their pins while you were drugging them, or
right? I don't know, maybe their debit cards.
It was not clear.
I don't know,
it was not clear
from the article, right?
Long story short,
woman,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Long story short, the movie Hustlers is based off of this article, and J-Lo's character Ramona was actually inspired by this head honcho con woman, Samantha Barbash.
Right. So Samantha Barbash, again, this real life stripper who's the basis of this article that you just told us about, sues J-Lo, her production company, as well as some of the other production companies and individuals associated with the film for $40 million in January 2020.
Yikes.
So she's not happy. And again, if we haven't made this clear, the film is based on this article, which includes Samantha's story.
And even quotes from Samantha, like she was a part of the article.
Yeah. No, she was. They were interviewed. They interviewed her.
Yeah.
So that's why this whole allegedly, I mean, we'll get into it, but I think it's, she did it.
You gave your goods up, girl. She did it.
But Samantha's claims in regards to the movie itself is interesting. She says that the producers exploited her likeness and character to make the film without her permission. Basically, it was a violation of her rights of publicity and privacy claims. Mm-hmm. We've now talked about this a couple times.
Yep.
She says that they actually tried to obtain consent, her consent, and a waiver over her portrayal in the movie. Seems like they actually wanted to get her to appear in some interviews, even at the end of the film. Mm-hmm. They were going to kind of include it as some like extras.
Yeah.
Her lawyers say that the waiver would have given away all of her rights, including her own book deal that she apparently had going and her story, and that she was only offered $6,000. She called the offer peanuts.
It reminds me of Patrizia Gucci.
This is definitely Patrizia vibes. Like,
that offer is lentils.
Lentils. What is this, a plate of lentils?
Yes.
Exactly. She declined. She says, I have bags that are worth more than what they wanted to pay me. Okay, I'm a businesswoman. J-Lo doesn't work for free. Why would I?
Oh.
Definite fancy. Patrizia vibes.
Okay, Patrizia.
Okay, we got to talk about this girl.
Yeah.
We've kind of touched on this stuff before, but life rights.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's the deal here?
Well, so, okay, you don't, a studio, if a studio is making a movie or a TV show based on somebody's real life, they will often ask the person for a waiver or a release of all claims and basically say that you're a partner to this film or this project in some way. We're going to give you X amount of money, and in return for this money, you may consult on the project, but in any event, you definitely will not be suing us for the way that we portray you,
yeah,
or the way that we dramatize your life. And so you don't actually need these in most cases, because of course, if it's somebody's life story, it's based on real facts. And so real facts are not protectable elements when it comes to like IP or to copyright.
Right.
And so you can technically make something based on facts whenever you want, but studios will often do this and pursue these waivers and releases because it just eliminates or at least massively decreases the risk that you're going to have in connection with that project if you know that the person won't sue you later on.
Yeah, I would say the concerns are basically probably defamation claims,
mm-hmm,
right? Because you got to make sure you got the facts right, because again, to your point, copyright law does not protect people from talking about facts.
Yep.
That would be very much in contradiction to the First Amendment, right? Mm-hmm. We have free speech. We can tell stories. We can express ourselves. But it's just nice to have for studios, right? Yeah. Especially, I will say the other point too is you get some extra access, right? So if Samantha mm-hmm. would have signed on, she would have been like, actually, I'm going to consult in this scene, this, yeah. right? So it's usually just helpful. Yep. Like, especially if they're like a researcher or something, they might have more data for you. They might have done interviews with other people that would be nice for you to have access to.
Yeah.
And so usually just the cooperation is nicer. Mm-hmm. But again, not necessary. So this whole life rights thing is a bit of a farce.
It's especially not necessary if it's a public figure, because the standard for a public figure to say that they were defamed is so much higher because they have to prove malice. So mm-hmm. again, this is not necessary. We just, you know, studios do this and companies do this as a way to reduce risk and liability and gain protection. Mm-hmm. And it's, to your point, it's just like nice to have generally. So it's definitely interesting that she is bringing this claim, given how much she had disclosed in the article that ultimately became a public fact.
Right. And we're going to get into the defenses. But to that point, you have these other set of rights yeah. that could be affected by that. But specifically to the right to tell a story mm-hmm. based on someone's life. Mm-hmm. You can do that so long as it's based in facts, which yeah. actually bleeds into her next claim.
Yeah.
She says defamation, mm-hmm. right? The thing that we are usually afraid of when we are studios and we're making something about somebody mm-hmm. without their consent.
Yeah.
Again, you don't necessarily need it, but it's just nice to have. Not actually, you don't need their consent. You just need a release.
Yep.
I'm not going to sue you. So she claims that the movie defames her by portraying the character as using and making illegal substances in her home where she lived with a child. The complaint said anyone who views the film will believe Samantha to be an individual of little to no moral or ethical values, devoid of any loyalty to her colleagues, under the influence of hard drugs, and with misandrist tendencies. Did I say that right?
Yeah. I don't... Whoever uses that word / that phrase, never used it. I think there was an easier way to say that, but right. Thank you, Samantha's attorneys.
That is a direct quote. So defamation, we've talked about this a ton, so hopefully you guys know this one now, but it's a false statement that purports to be true that harms someone's reputation. And if that person's a public figure, like Nicole said, then the bar is higher. It has to be made with malice. Mm-hmm. So you have to... And malice meaning like... The defamatory statement was made by the person knowing it was false or with reckless disregard for the truth. Mm-hmm. Basically, IDGAF. Yeah. I don't give a fuck.
Yep.
Essentially.
Yep.
And she asks for...
Yeah, $40 million, like you said. And she's asking that the producers turn over every single copy of the movie. Every single copy of this movie that grossed millions of dollars.
They're going to remove it from my Apple TV?
Yeah, they're pulling it from... You're coming to your house personally, actually. So Samantha's lawyers allege that she works with doctors and medical spas all over the world, and that the movie and all this media attention has had an adverse effect on her business. Mm. What do you think?
I think they saw how successful the film was and all the profits, like we said, it like hit a bunch of records yep. and they wanted a cut. Her lawyer even said the movie made over $150 million worldwide. We're just looking for Samantha to be compensated fairly for the use of her likeness and life story, which the production companies have refused to do so.
Which is not completely accurate because they offered you $6,000. And if you were, you could have negotiated that.
She wanted more money.
Yeah. I'm sure she could have tried. I don't know that $6,000 was the best and final offer, but
yeah,
you know,
that's what this sounds like.
She's at the table. So I think there are some really important fun facts to note here. So we'll do a little handoff here because I know you like the fun facts, but there's a number of them.
Go
so
for it. Have fun.
So one of the fun facts, it comes out that the strippers stole around $200,000 between September and December of 2013, and that Samantha ended up pleading guilty to conspiracy, assault, and grand larceny in 2017 for her involvement in the scandal, which happens, you know, years after the article comes out. And so she ends up getting sentenced to 5 years of probation.
Right.
So because of this, it's interesting, right? She can't really deny her involvement in this scheme and this scandal since she had pled guilty. So her specific issue here is actually that the film contained inaccuracies about her and not about the scandal at large.
Right.
Including the kind of this claim that she concocted her own drug recipe to incapacitate clients. So one of my favorite things is this quote that she releases in basically connection with her saying that there were inaccuracies about her concocting this drug mix that mm-hmm. incapacitates the poor gentlemen's in the club. And so she mm-hmm. says, first of all, there are drug dealers for that. LOL. Mm-hmm. She didn't say that. I did. Second of all, I would never know how to do anything like that. The concoction is unheard of, and making the drugs with her daughter in the house, I'm actually offended by that. That's attacking my character. I'm a mother.
Right. Mm-hmm. So for anybody who hasn't seen the movie, got to take a time out real quick. There's a scene where J-Lo and Constance Wu are coming up with the concoction they're going to give to the lovely gentlemen's, as you said. Mm-hmm. And so they're like experimenting with stuff in her kitchen. And so that's what she's specifically contesting. And it's important to note here because, again, the best defense to defamation is truth.
Yep.
So if this happened, defamation claim gone. So she's saying, hey, 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 there may have been drugs in there. I may have drugged people, but I didn't make the drugs.
Right.
All right. Because you can't claim anything else because, to your point, she pled guilty
yep.
to everything.
Yep.
So she's going to find, it's what I found very interesting about her claims, because this was so specific, the defamation claim. It wasn't the entire movie. It wasn't the character. It was a specific scene where J-Lo's making the drugs, right? It's so small.
It's like a needle in a haystack.
Yeah, she was really just searching trying. For something. She's really trying. And in a 2019 interview with Vanity Fair, she says that she's not impressed with the film. Got to note that, because I know we all care about what Samantha Barbash thinks about the Hustlers movie.
Yep.
And she's nothing like J-Lo's character. Though, after it came out, she did talk to the media and was featured in two articles talking about the movie. So it's like she doesn't want to claim that this is her, but then she's all about it.
Well, she needs the attention medias. For her medical spas and her doctor affiliations. Right,
and her book. Don't forget. Yeah, okay? Sorry, she's a novelist.
Sorry. She's a writer.
So J-Lo and the other defendants file a motion to dismiss in May 2020. Basically, they say the movie did not infringe upon Samantha's privacy rights, the likeness, all that we were talking about. Remember, as we talked about in the Lindsay Lohan episode, under New York law, a successful violation of privacy claim requires someone's name, picture, portrait, voice, whatever it is, to be used in advertising or trade without their consent. So here they're saying Samantha was never even mentioned by name and her image was never used anywhere in the entire movie. Mm-hmm. The dramatization of her story might have some parallels, but there was no explicit tie to her.
Right.
Right. And Samantha's trying to profit or control the narrative around a fictional story inspired by the events that she was involved in.
That she admitted that she was involved in.
Correct. So this is basically getting at a First Amendment free speech claim. Mm-hmm. You cannot control who tells the story.
Yeah.
And that's why this whole Samantha's claims about name and likeness being used. Well, your name, first of all, was never used. Mm-hmm. Your likeness was never used. Mm-hmm. You and J-Lo look very different. There was nothing that looked like you in the movie, right? No. So we have to remember, what does name and likeness look? What does that mean? Literally yeah. your name and literally you. Mm-hmm. If there was like a portrait of Samantha in the background,
yeah.
maybe there's your portrait, right? But it's interesting that she brought this in New York too, because the statute, it's much so more specific.
Yeah.
So not very good. Okay, so let's get a little general, because we've talked about this a lot. There's a lot of facts, and usually when you're defending things, you go for multiple claims. So mm-hmm. this can speak to a bunch of stuff,
yep.
including the violation of rights of publicity. So again, likeness, name, blah, 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 blah. Basically, J-Lo and team says, First Amendment, publicly known facts. We cannot stress this enough, right? We keep saying this. They have right to tell factual stories, and it's a matter of public interest. Especially because of this article. They go, Samantha herself pled guilty to conspiracy, assault, grand larceny. So we're not in the wrong for making a movie that's based on a storyline and her involvement.
Right.
And then on the damages front, they argue that Samantha can't say this movie caused harm to her business any more than her actually pleading guilty to conspiracy, assault, and grand larceny. Right? You would think that.
Can't imagine that helped.
How could you? Yeah. How could you bifurcate them?
The movie is worse than you saying you did it.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, so a federal judge dismisses the lawsuit in November 2020. The court basically says, although the movie was inspired by the New York Magazine article, which did detail Samantha's involvement in a real-life plot, the movie did not use her name, her portrait, her picture, or her voice, as you mentioned, in the movie. Mm-hmm. And the court goes on to say the movie changed certain details, some of them being that J-Lo's character was named Ramona instead of Samantha. The character has a daughter instead of a son like Samantha did, and that the tattoos and piercings were different than Samantha's in real life. Mm-hmm. They also said that since she participated in media around the release, including all these interviews and publishing her own memoir, that it was fair to treat Samantha as a public figure. So then she would have had to basically prove malice by the producers for this defamation claim, essentially right. making it harder than if like an average person brought this lawsuit.
Yeah, you can have it both ways, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. So as of now, Samantha's apparently not so pleased with the judgment. Naturally, she was looking for her $40 million and she got a big no from the court. Mm-hmm. So she's reportedly looking into appealing, but nothing's happened just yet. She did go on to say that J-Lo is a hypocrite to claim to support women's rights and then profit from Samantha's story.
But I have to add, she also said she doesn't hate J-Lo.
Phew. Good thing.
Don't worry, J-Lo. Yeah. I'm sure J-Lo's sleeping better at night now.
In her mansions across the universe.
With her Ben.
Yep.
And she still she says, and don't worry, people, she's still a fan, saying, I'm a Bronx native. How could I not be? This is how I treat my best friends, by the way. She also wished Cardi would have played her. So that was her one critique. She said, okay, you know, I'm going to sue this film. It's not true. But also, could Cardi play me next time?
Thanks. She would have sued Cardi instead.
Yeah.
Poor Cardi's already told us she has enough lawsuits.
I know. She's busy, girl.
Yeah.
And I got to mention, I have to, because it's me, her book, Underscore, the one that she was working on, was released. If anybody's interested, it has 7 reviews on Amazon, and it has 3.5 stars. So I feel like that's going strong.
Rain for endorsements.
For anybody, you know, she's not getting that $40 million, so if anybody wants to buy that book, go for it.
Well, so meanwhile, J-Lo is hitting the glow up. She has since broken up with the dumbass that is A-Rod. She originally postponed their wedding because of the pandemic, but then actually ended up breaking up in April of this year. She never confirmed that he cheated, but Alexa and I have our suspicions.
He cheated.
That, okay. He cheated. Not even allegedly.
He's a cheater.
Not even allegedly. All right. So she gets back together with Ben Affleck shortly thereafter. Allegedly, they're moving in together and they're looking for houses. They're looking for schools for her twins. Like, they're really.
$5 million house.
I mean, listen, the bitch is getting her paper. We've talked about this.
Dropping the bucket for her.
Yeah. And meanwhile, her ex, A-Rod, is being thirsty as fuck. Apparently, he rented a house in the Hamptons just a mile away from her.
It's getting kind of creepy. Which is
approximately a 3-minute drive.
It's getting kind of creepy for me. I'm not going to lie.
It's a little very creepy.
Like, bruh, get over it. What are you doing? You look terrible. Stop.
The thirst is real.
A-Rod, if you're listening to this, stop, bro.
Yeah, it's not
too cool. Much.
Be
not,
cool.
Not
be
a good cool, look. Cool. Not a good look.
You're being like not cool.
Yeah. Stop. Stop trying to make it happen. It's not going to happen. Yeah.
Gretchen.
She's still acting. She's going to be in Marry Me with Owen Wilson in 2022. So let's get ready for that.
Yeah, and she's going to play a drug lord, Griselda Blanco, in the show The Godmother.
That sounds pretty good.
It's in development, so we're not sure when it's going to come out, but I think she would be fantastic in
this. That's all I need. That's all I need to know.
Yep.
And she has a major deal with Netflix, so you know she's not poor. She's going to be in 3 of their films, so good for you, J-Lo.
As if we thought she was poor before that.
If there was any doubt about whether she's doing okay for herself, rest assured.
Thank you.
She's getting Netflix money now.
Never would have known.
All right. So, what's your advice for the peeps?
My advice is, if you plead guilty to crimes, you cannot then go and sue people for acting out those crimes.
In film.
Yeah. In a dramatized version that does not use your name or your photo. Okay. What's your advice?
I'm going to say, take the $6,000 when you can.
When you first offered it. Yeah.
When you can. Don't burn bridges. Yep. You don't know what's going to come of it, right? Mm-hmm. Look, I know it looks a little bit like a plate of lentils. I know it looks a little bit like a cup of peanuts. But that cup of peanuts or that plate of lentils might lead to other types of beans or nuts. So you don't know where it's going to go.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, be Samantha, girl, sounds like you need some monies. Mm-hmm. Take the $6,000.
Take it.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Could be in a sequel.
Yep.
You'll meet some producers. Network, girl. All right.
Yeah.
So, everybody, if you haven't already, tell 500 of your closest friends about us.
Just repost us on your stories. If you post us on your stories, we will repost you
you. Go follow us on Instagram. Go check out our TikTok. We actually do some really cool content on TikTok that we do not have on Instagram.
True.
And then head over to Apple Podcast and go leave us a 5-star rating and drop us a review for our Thirsty Thursdays, because we love to show off the thirst on Thursdays. We love shouting you guys out. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Legally Judgy. We hope you enjoyed listening to us talk as much as we love the sound of our own voices.
If you did, please subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Also, feel free to connect with us on our socials at Legally Judgy. Until next time.
Bye. Waiting for tonight.